T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. Willie P. and Diesel here with you. Final hour of the program. We've had a fantastic show. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you've missed any part of our show, you can find it afterwards on the Radio.com app. Tremendous spot in the opening hour with Taj Boyd, where he basically commented about things involving Dabo Swinney and whether or not his ripping of BT Potter was justified. The thing that he said that resonated with both Diesel and me is the fact that he said if BT could not handle it, Coach Swinney would not have done it, on the butt-chewing from coach to player, and the reason why BT Potter is now the second-string kicker, at least on the short field goals. He'll still be called upon if there's a long field goal, and also will still be the kickoff specialist. Otherwise, the rest of the kicking duties handled by Steven Sawicki. Talked a lot about that, done a little bit on South Carolina, the momentum that they need to try and get themselves over the hump against Florida after the upset victory over Georgia. Can they adequately flush the emotions from last weekend, fuel themselves into a noontime kick in Williams-Brice Stadium this weekend? South Carolina hosting Florida, Clemson at Louisville. We also reopened the debate involving LeBron James and China and the NBA. Had a lot of impassioned comments about that. There was a little bit also that I had in the show earlier. It might make the segment we do with the cutting room floor, but I did want to at least put up the fact that, you know, Cam Newton's back in practice for the Carolina Panthers. And it's going to be a very awkward situation for Carolina off the bye, because they're going to have a situation where they're going to have to basically choose whether or not they're going to use Kyle Allen against San Francisco 49ers off the bye, or whether they use Cam Newton after he had won basically 4 consecutive games for this franchise. And I personally don't know how you take him out of the lineup right now if you are the Carolina Panthers. In my opinion, Kyle Allen starts until Kyle Allen fails. And quite honestly, he has not failed to the level that you have to bench him right now. Yes, it is possible to lose your job due to injury. Yes, it is possible to lose your job because another guy comes in and outplays you. Think about Wally Pipp.
Think about Tom Brady.
Exactly. Did they think that they wanted to go back to Drew Bledsoe after that? Tom Brady won them a Super Bowl. Ends up working out that way for Carolina.
What do you say is enough of a failure to pull him? Is just losing a game?
Lose.
Just lose one game and you're out.
Yeah.
And then what do you do if the next week you lose with Cam Newton?
You open up the competition. There's only 16 opportunities. You don't get that much this is a not-for-long league, like Jerry Glanville said. It's not for long. And you know, I know that's I might sound harsh, but there's a lot of people who are big Cam fans. Lewis Riddick, who said this, I'm a Cam Newton supporter. He's, of course, somebody you see on ESPN. He says, I'm a Cam Newton supporter. Support him on TV on a regular basis. The Cam fanboys are amusing. They don't want to hear anything objective about anything. I hope he comes back and plays his butt off personally, but if the Panthers go in a different direction ultimately, I could see why. I think that's how it works. I think that right now, Ron Rivera is justified in doing anything he can to help this team win. If he plays Cam Newton and they win, he has all the justification in the world. If he plays Kyle Allen, he could always hide behind the fact that we just didn't think Cam was ready. So in my mind, giving Cam an extra week, you could hide behind the logic of we just didn't think he was ready. But if you go out and say, hey, you know, we're going to start Cam this week, we think he's good to go, and Cam looks like garbage again, then you're open to criticism. If Cam apparently is okay, you can hide behind that and have Cam basically fall in line. But if he doesn't want to fall in line, then you have an issue and you can go rogue. 844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number. Before we get to some more comments from Bill Muschamp and Dabo Swinney, we'll open up the phone, see what's going on. Say hello to Harold, who wants to chat about some Gamecock stuff, we think. What's going on, Harold? You're on ESPN Upstate.
Thank you, Will. I know you get tired of hearing me. Listen, I'm just going to comment.
I do not get tired of hearing you one bit, Harold. I wouldn't take you if I was tired of hearing from you.
Okay, well, listen, I just want to follow up some things. You know, Erland, I'm standing beside Diesel about the NFL. I'm on his side, and I'm on your side about the officiating. And this thing as far as politics, I just stay out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. But, listen, this, you know, I want to follow up on something. I want to see Sturge come back. You know, I wish him well. I'm between a rock and a hard place. When Sturge comes back, I hate to see you go. Now, listen, 10-1 time slot, get rid of that Dan Lebatard show. That's crap, you know. And you need a good producer, and I'll be glad to interview for the job. I'm 74 years old, but I'm not over the hill. I know sports, you know. But anyway, this
I'm not worried about you knowing sports. I'm worried about you working the equipment around here, Harold.
Well, that's no small feat.
Diesel's got a lot of buttons and screens he's got to worry about over there.
Diesel knows how I feel about him, and that's what makes these shows great. I know he's a producer, you know.
Sure.
And I'll let Diesel know, Appalachian State scares me to death down the line. You know, if somehow South Carolina was to run the table on the SEC and come up and face – don't read your own press clippings. That's what you hit on, too.
I've never had somebody try to supplant me with such a silver tongue.
Anyway, that just, you know, as far as the Gamecocks, you know, I got faith in them. But, you know, it's just, they just got to keep playing like they're doing, you know. And everything else will take care of itself, I think. Thank you for the call, Will. Appreciate you letting me have the time, brother.
Thank you, Harold. Appreciate it. Harold and I are going to have to meet up and have a cold one at some point. If Harold is still somebody who enjoys a cold one.
You got to find out where he lives and deliver him a six-pack of beer. Sit out on the back porch or back porch.
A little P1 Pilsner for him, maybe.
And drink yourselves a beer.
Harold might sound like somebody who might enjoy a moonshine or two. How you feel about that?
I'm a big fan of the shine. Now, real or store-bought?
Store-bought. That's just a fancy way for them to market something that this is disguised as moonshine. My first play-by-play gig, I should say, was in Kinston, North Carolina, and we had some moonshine there, boy, that could take the paint off of a car. Let's just say I got an introduction to Carolina moonshine, and that was. That was some petty stuff.
It doesn't make you question why you did this to yourself. Is it even any good?
Correct. If you're questioning anything about this weekend, the one thing you do have to question is whether or not this South Carolina offense is going to show up better than it did against Georgia. If there is a silver lining to what we saw in Athens, it's that they won a game where the offense really couldn't do a whole lot when Ryan Helinski was out of the football game. They did enough to be able to get themselves in position in overtime to make some field goals, but let's be real, it did not look pretty at times when Joyner was in there, despite how much Will Muschamp happened to think that there was the ability for them to do some things. They're going to need a healthy Ryan Helinski on their side in order to get themselves against Florida in a particularly good situation. Here's Will Muschamp on his press availability on Tuesday speaking about the Florida D that they will see.
Todd Grantham does a great job. Todd and I have been friends for a long time, and I think if you talk in terms of havoc on the football, probably Florida leads the country just as far as batted balls, interceptions. He does a great job of creating issues for you offensively. And Zeninga and Grenard are two guys that have been very productive for him at the defensive end positions. They're solid in the middle. And then C.J. Henderson and Marco Wilson are two outstanding corners, as good of corners we'll see this year.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting from what Muschamp, because he brought up the two defensive ends, Zeninga and Grenard, both those guys doubtful for Saturday. So from that perspective, South Carolina is going to be in good shape to try and get themselves out on the edges. The fact that they're going to be down those two guys works very good for the pin-and-pull run scheme that they are implementing right now with Dowdle and Feaster. The fact that they are trying to do everything that they possibly can do off tackle, stay away from the stuff in the GCG, the A and the B gap, run at the C gap on both sides, maybe a little B gap running too. A lot of this stuff is what has given South Carolina the kind of edge against the last couple teams they've played when they've been running the football a lot better than they did, say, against Missouri earlier in the season. Meanwhile, Dabo Swinney and his Clemson Tigers have to go up against a Louisville defense that's part of a team with the Cardinals that, quite honestly, the defense didn't show up a lot last week for them. But the one thing that Dabo Swinney knows is that Scott Satterfield has these guys playing at a level that is higher than expected by many in the preseason.
Did not start off well, but they are really getting better. And it's the same thing that I would say, watching the tape from last year compared to this year, it's night and day. Guys are playing with great effort. They're playing with good technique. They're not misaligning. They're where they're supposed to be. And, you know, that as a coach, that's what you're looking for. And you can see they're playing with physicality. They're rallying to the ball. And they're trying to get after the quarterback. So just a really good team. But probably the thing with this team that's been the biggest equalizer is what they've done in the returns. They got some really dangerous returners that can change the game. So we got a three-phase challenge that we got to be ready to accept up there at Louisville.
Dabo Swinney speaking about the Louisville Cardinals. Again, their offense is very stout. That's the one part of their team. That's the strength of their team. You saw it in the 62-59 victory over Wake Forest. So that part of it is very much in play for them this week. This could be a high-scoring game. And again, I think Louisville's going to be able to put some points up on the Clemson defense, and it could be a shootout on Saturday night. And say it with me now. Louisville. Louisville. Did you say it? Louisville. 844-GSP-ESPN. The phone number, text line 71307. Let's go to Bear, who's on the line. And Bear, you're on ESPN Upstate.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
Hey, buddy. You guys want to give Burns Dorman game any love between now and Friday? That's one of the biggest games in the state in the last several years, I would say.
We are going to talk about it on Friday when we bring Cole Bryson on for our usual Friday spot with him at 6:20 Friday, and we'll spend a lot of time on Dorman Burns. And honestly, we've been kind of circling that one on our calendar. I unfortunately, with our situation on Friday, we're going to be out at Bonsa Coors Wellness Arena, and it unfortunately is conflicted with the fact that we have the Swamp Rabbits home opener, so we will have coverage from there. We'll still have the Burns Dorman game on here on ESPN Upstate, but we'll also have coverage from the Bonsa Coors Wellness Arena for the Swamp Rabbits opener. But no, we'll spend a lot of time on Burns Dorman, and quite honestly, give some props out to my man Rajay Harris, the running back from Burns, who was the finalist for Mr. Football in the state of South Carolina. But we'll certainly be talking about that game, and it's the biggest game of the year for them. This is a clash between two Titans. It can mean region championship stuff on the line, playoff positioning. This has kind of been a collision course type game for Reggie Shaw and Dave Gutshaw. This will be a fun one Friday night over at Nixon Field. They get that one at home, I believe, correct?
Yeah, and of course we'll have a lot of coverage on Saturday morning. Cole Bryson, when he comes in and does his Saturday morning show.
Saturday morning scramble is very, very much a big part of that. Yes, it is a home game for the Rebels.
I'm sure also available for podcast. There's some additional coverage from last Saturday's show.
Mm-hmm. After their victory over Malden, 43-0. And again, that's going to be very, very interesting on Friday night. So definitely plenty of that on that, and wanted to at least give Bear some pause to make sure that he knows that we know what's going on with the Rebels. We're there. We let Cole handle a lot of that stuff, and he will do so admirably, as he does with us 6:25 every Friday when it comes to talking about the high school scene. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Text line is at 71307. Lonzo is giving me a little bit of garbage here on the air right now. So I've been trying to help out my man Mark, because he's been dealing with some issues involving his digestive stuff. And he said one of the things that the doctor told him was that sauerkraut was a thing that you can use. And I said, well, he said he hated sauerkraut. And I was like, well, you got to make it the way that we make it in Ukraine. And he says, what do you do? And he says, you got to fry it up with some bacon and onions, drain the actual sauerkraut, wait till the onions get translucent with the bacon and onion saute mix, throw the drained, washed sauerkraut in, have it cook on low for an hour, and away you go. You got Ukrainian sauerkraut, colloquially called kapusta. And Lonzo, the dude, has just tweeted me at Willie P. Style, says, hey, Willie P. Style, is this piece of onion translucent? My man's got to be so damn smart alecky. Like why? What are you doing, Lonzo? You think I got nothing better to do than to try and determine the translucent nature of your onion on your plate from whatever sandwich was left over from what you were trying to eat earlier? Come on, man.
How would you rate that on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being opaque, 10 being completely translucent?
It doesn't look translucent to me. You can't see through. You got to be able to see through it. You got to see through the onion.
That's transparent.
No, translucent as in allowing light through.
Yeah.
So
translucent is somewhere in the middle on a scale of opaque and transparent.
Yes. Fry onions until they become translucent. That's the way this works. 844-GSP-ESPN is in the phone number. Text line 71307. They got to look glassy, glassy. You get what I'm saying?
Like frosted glass.
Yes. Like a frosted mug of beer, if you will. We'll come back, talk a little bit to our pal DJ Shockley, SEC Network quarterback analyst. Of course, he is the former Georgia quarterback, so we'll jive him a little bit. What's going on with the Georgia-South Carolina win? And talk to him about whether or not he thinks the South Carolina run is sustainable. Comes your way next on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Texter texts in, says, Harold is the man. You don't need to take that guy off the radio. He's a good dude. He's a very good dude when it comes to those things. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. We're going to talk to DJ Shockley here in mere moments about what's going on with the South Carolina Gamecocks, the Georgia Bulldogs, and also ask him, because he does a lot of work with Georgia, whether or not he could see coming what we saw from the perspective at Georgia. And, the other thing is, from his standpoint, there are a lot of people who will look at this team and say, oh, well, they can win out. It's going to change itself out and maybe try and go further and say, oh, well, they can still beat Florida, they can still beat Auburn, and also be a part of at least something that goes beyond this week. But how do you go about justifying that particular frame of mind? Because a loss to South Carolina all of a sudden doesn't look like an outlier to you. It's like saying, oh, well, that game just doesn't matter. You just don't take that into account. I don't know how you don't take that into account, and at least from the standpoint of at least saying, hey, this is something that's an outlier. This is something that you have to come out and say is not a good thing. It is now our time to bring in the former Georgia quarterback, SEC Network football analyst, DJ Shockley, joining us here on ESPN Upstate. DJ, obviously, the folks here very pleasantly surprised about what they saw between the hedges last weekend. Were you able to see kind of the danger signs of a performance like that coming from Georgia? And how eye-opening in a negative way was that performance for the Bulldogs?
You know what? I don't think you had any signs of it to come, because I think, yeah, you had some strict competition in Notre Dame, but they didn't challenge you as much as you would think that somebody else would, like a South Carolina or teams who have those type of athletes. And when you play in a game like this, when you play against the athletes that they have, some things come to light. And I thought one of the things that really came to light was on the outside. I thought everybody coming to the season talked about Georgia and could their young receivers step up. And I thought this was the first time that you saw those receivers on the outside get kind of exposed. And one thing when I turned on the tape and I watched it back this past weekend, every time it came to a third down and five or more situation, South Carolina got up in man coverage and they challenged the Georgia receivers and they just were not able to win on the outside. And on the other side of it, Fromm had to hold on to the football and then you were able to get to him. So that was a big part of the game. I don't think anybody foreseen that happening, but it definitely was something that Georgia has to look at and say, we got to better handle it because coming up is teams who can challenge you. Florida, Auburn, all those guys are going to have some good D lines and the secondary is going to be just as talented. How do they find a way to get better that way?
You know, DJ, I know that folks will look at Georgia and say they can come back from this. Do you see this being a danger for them down the stretch? Because it's not like they don't have tough games on the slate. You obviously think about what's going on with Georgia, with Florida here in a couple of weeks. You think about the Auburn game, and it just seems like there are still some landmines that are between them and a possible repeat SEC East crown.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, you look at the way Florida went into Death Valley and played, and I think everybody coming into that ballgame is really looking forward to seeing how Trask would respond in that environment, and he responded just fine. That Florida team is going to be really hard to beat. And when you came into this season, you probably thought Florida, Auburn, maybe Notre Dame early in the year, maybe Texas A&M at the end of the year would be those landmines that you may think of for Georgia, not South Carolina. But now South Carolina came out and played some inspired football, and it gives Georgia a little bit more to think about as they head into those particular games. And it's going to be tough to get by Florida, who has a really good defense, who's going to challenge Georgia as well. Auburn, we know they have one of the top defenses too, especially up front. So Georgia still has a tough road ahead of them if they want to make it to Atlanta and get back to where everybody thinks they should be, which is in the college football playoff. But like you mentioned, there are going to be some tough games coming up, and it's not going to be as easy as a lot of people think for the Dogs to get back.
DJ Shockley joining us here on ESPN Upstate. Willie P and Diesel here with you as we're talking a little SEC football here with DJ. To the South Carolina side of things, DJ, how impressive were the Gamecocks to you? And do you think they can double it up with Florida coming in to Williams-Brice this weekend?
I'll be honest, man. I was totally blown away by them because I had a chance to see South Carolina early in the year and saw it was Helinski's actually his first start of the year, and he played great. You know, everything looked good, and you thought, hey, the South Carolina team has something with this, you know, Helinski kid. And, you know, he's been up and down a little bit, but he's had his times where he's looked apart. I think South Carolina is a team given the right game plan, and I thought they had a great game plan last week with controlling the tempo. They ran the football, and then they challenged Georgia on the outside. They were really physical at the defensive front, and they were physical on the offensive line as well. And then you didn't do anything to hurt yourself. Take care of the football. Get yourself in third and manageable situations. So I thought both coordinators did a great job of maintaining and trying to control the pace of the game and the style in which they wanted to play, and then create those turnovers. I mean, whatever you can create turnovers and give your offense short fields and give some of those young quarterbacks, you know, a chance to be successful was good. And I thought Brian McClendon did a great job as well when Helinski did go down, getting Joyner ready, getting him some plays that makes him comfortable but still allowing him to throw the football but use his legs, and they were in some favorable spots in that ball game. And I think this is a team that could definitely play with Florida. The way they played last week, if they continue on at the same pace and control that line of scrimmage, this South Carolina team is what I think everybody thought coming into this year would be Muschamp's best team. So we'll see if they can, you know, come up with another repeat performance. But I think last week gives that team a lot of confidence and hope that we can play with the big dog in this conference and put our best foot forward.
DJ, I know you've had a relationship with BMAC going back to his time at Georgia. How do you think he's grown as a play caller?
Yeah, man, I'm a little biased to my guy, man. Of course, threw a couple touchdowns to him throughout our time, went to Georgia together. So I'm definitely a fan of his. Was extremely happy for him. Actually, you know, we talked after the game and congratulated him. And the craziest thing that I've learned about my guy B-Mac is he has gone straight into coach mode. I mean, I know he's coach, but for me, it's hard to see him there. And as soon as I talked to him, I congratulated him. And he was already saying, yeah, that game's done. I got to think about Florida. He was already – his mindset was, yeah, that was a good win, but we got to get on. We got to move on to the next game, which I thought was pretty eye-opening. I thought it was pretty cool that this guy is locked in. He's looking forward to the next game. And I thought he's just growing as a play caller. I thought he's done a great job of trying to balance what he has personnel-wise and then how to most feature those guys and then give his guys a chance to win. When I had the South Carolina game early in the year, I just asked him kind of how does he go through his process. I'm like, how do you know when to call runs? When do you, you know, call these different passes? What situation? And he has a list and he has a checklist. And he is one of the most prepared guys that I know in doing that. And he has done, I think, a remarkable job of turning himself into a really good play caller and leaning on a lot of other guys, too, to help him. So I think he will only grow and become even better given the reps, the games. But I'm just really excited and glad for the success that he's had.
This is more of a big picture question, not necessarily to South Carolina, but in this RPO world, do you think defenses are becoming more wise to the act? Because it seems like this is something that they kind of had to take off of the plate of Helinski. There's a lot more plays where there isn't a pass called off the run or a run called off the pass. Basically, they're saying, hey, screw the numbers. We're running the football. Or screw the numbers, what it looks like in the box. We need to throw it on this down. Do you think we're starting to see the defenses figure out how to respond to these RPO-type things?
You know, it's tough. I think it is getting tougher on play callers, but it also gets tougher on defenses because now there's so many different wrinkles to the RPO game that a lot of teams are starting to do. Like you mentioned, from run to pass, pass to run. But then there's also when you get out on the edge, you can still throw it to a guy that's on the bubble. Or I've seen guys take the ISO, get out on like he's going to pull it and run it, and then throws it 5-10 yards down the field. That a guy that was on the bubble is now the guy who you throw to as a receiver. There's so many different options, and I think it helps the play caller simply because you never know what a defense is going to do. These guys move so much from pre-snap to post-snap, and you have to have those quote-unquote calling and running plays because if not, sometimes there's a lot of indecision for your quarterback, and they can get caught in between, and it's hard to play fast when you're thinking a lot. So, yeah, there are times when you say, hey, this is a play. I don't care what they're in. I don't care what they're doing. You run the football or, you know, if you get off coverage, you get a free access throw, let's take it. So there are those times where you have to tell your quarterback, look, let's keep it simple and let's just do what the play calls. And there are other times where we got to make sure we get ourselves in the right play at that moment.
SEC Network's DJ Shockley joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the radio.com app. Everyone seems to be getting ready to circle Alabama and LSU. How different of a matchup are we looking forward to between these two teams? I know that there have been years where we thought those two teams bring about the type of offensive firepower that it seems like they have this year, and they still play to a grudge match, low-scoring type game. Will we see like a Big 12 type shootout when those two end up playing each other inevitably here in November?
Yeah, I think it's no doubt about it. I mean, if you watch both these offenses, I don't know how any defense can stop them. These dudes getting off the bus scoring 30, 35 points. And it's just hard because they have so many weapons on the outside. And all these guys are aggressive to the football. And the number one thing is the guys who are pulling the trigger. You're talking about two of the best right now in the country, and Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow throwing the football. Both guys, I mean, they're averaging 51 and 52 points a game. They got the top receiver combos in the country. And now LSU is starting to add a run game to it. We saw the run game against Florida get ramped up. Now you had the run and the pass and the accuracy and the decision-making of what Joe Burrow's doing. this offense is tough to beat. I had LSU versus Utah State, and they threw it all over the yard. Joe Burrow has freedom at the line of scrimmage to do what he wants. Tua's numbers are even better than they were last year when he was in the Heisman race. It's just, it's fun to watch these two. I don't expect this to be a 17-20 game. This game will easily be in the 30s and 40s. And I think if people out there that bet it, they're going to bet the over because there's going to be a lot of points scored in this ball game.
Let me ask you about the game you have this weekend. You have the team that is surprisingly at the top of the SEC East, Missouri, going to the team that is kind of at the bottom in Vanderbilt. I know that from Missouri's perspective, they're just trying to keep the ball rolling up until that showdown that takes place second week in November between the Hedges and Athens, which could be for the SEC East. What are you looking for from Missouri's side as they go into this game against the Commodores?
Well, I think you mentioned it. I think this is a Missouri team that just wants to keep it in the road, keep guys healthy, and continue to build on what they've been doing. They right now are the team that's kind of under the radar, that's kind of sneaky. Ever since the Wyoming game where they lost their first game, they have just been trudging along. The offense is getting better. I think an offensive coordinator, Derek Dooley, is getting a lot better with how he can use Kelly Bryant at offense. Larry Roundtree at running back is a monster coming downhill. He's fast. He's physical. And then you add the big tight end, Albert Okwuegbunam on the outside, who can play receiver for anybody, would be one of the top tight ends taken out. And then defensively, they're top five in the country on defense. So this is a under-the-radar team that I think is just waiting their time and buying their time to get on that national stage to show people what they're about. And how great would it be for Kelly Bryant to get in this moment and take this team and take them to Atlanta in its last year playing college football and show people, hey, I had to overcome something, and now I'm still doing well, and I've overcame it, and I'm doing it in one of the best conferences in all of football. So Missouri is exciting to watch. I've enjoyed watching them on tape. I think they've scored 31-plus points in the last 11 straight games. So they're scoring points, and they're stopping people. And that's what – is making them special right now. So Missouri is going to be a team that if you haven't started to kind of keep an eye on them, I think everybody should.
Yeah, what do you think about Dooley? I mean, that guy has remade his entire persona, remade his complete, you know, the narrative that surrounded him. You know, he got his opportunity at Tennessee and it floundered. He went to the league and went to be a receiver coach at the Dallas Cowboys, kind of redid some things. And he was a big part of why Drew Locke looked so good coming out of college. And he's doing a lot of the same things with KB.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part about it was, he had never called plays. He had never been a coordinator. So this was all new for him as well. And he brings in this pro style of offense. And that was the biggest thing we heard last year was Drew Locke wanted to have a guy around him who could teach him the pro game, teach him the pro routes, teach him the footwork of what's going to happen to him on the next level, knowing he was going there. And he made Drew Locke into a pro style quarterback. And this offense has begun to just take off and grow. And he's done such a great job as well of finding ways to make this offense creative and fun, and he's adapted to the style of quarterback he's had. I mean, Kelly Bryant is totally different from Drew Locke, and they still are having the same success. So I think you got to give Dooley a lot of credit for his innovation in this offense and really turn it into a pro-style offense that's been really successful these past 2 years since he's been there.
E.J. Shockley, SEC Network analyst. You hear him on Game. You see him on the SEC Network on their studio shows. Always appreciate the time, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Always a pleasure, man. Appreciate you guys having me on.
That is DJ Shockley joining us here on ESPN Upstate. We'll switch it back to the Clemson side. Hear from a couple of linebackers who have been a big part of Clemson's renewed confidence at that position. Comes your way next on ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
By the way, if you were trying to hear game number 4 of the ALCS tonight, you're out of luck because they postponed things till tomorrow. They're going to play game 4 tomorrow, game 5 on Friday. They're going to forego the off day and then play games 6 and 7 Saturday and Sunday if necessary. So those will take place again without a travel day. Don't know if we'll be able to get any of those left on the air just because of our stuff with football. Might be able to squeeze game 6 on the air Friday night or Saturday night. But again, not sure. That is something that is above my pay grade. But we'll try to get as much of the World Series in. The World Series begins on Tuesday night between the Nationals and the American League team to be named later. So we'll probably do Tuesday, Wednesday night with the World Series, at least for those first two games, and then maybe Saturday, Sunday, or at least Saturday for potential game number 4 of the World Series, and then game 6 and 7, if necessary, the following Tuesday, Tuesday and Wednesday. We will talk a little bit more with what's going on here with the Clemson Tigers. Jamie Skalski is somebody who has really been kind of a, I don't want to say pet, but somebody who I've kind of had in my corner as a guy who I look at from Clemson's standpoint and say is an underrated guy. He's somebody who has taken on the role of middle linebacker and somebody who has become a big focal point of what they do is always around the football. Jamie Skalski talking about how much this team needed that performance it had against Florida State in order to follow up going into this week against Louisville.
I think just, I mean, knowledge, you know, just guys buying in to knowing their job, you know, because that's really what the game is. It's, you don't got to be Superman. You don't got to, you know, be making crazy plays. You just got to do your job. And I think the more guys we can get buy in to just knowing their job and executing their job, the better we will be, and I've definitely seen that over the past couple games. It's just guys having a better understanding of what their job is. We don't need the credit. Don't get whatever y'all are doing, keep doing it. Don't give us any credit. We want to walk in every week, with something to prove, And man, we just got to keep buying into the game plan that Coach V puts together, and like I said, just keep doing our job, and things will play out like they should. They're a good offense. They got new coaching staff, and they got a great scheme, a lot of eye candy, and I think they got like 4 or 5 NFL caliber guys. They got some really good players at wide out, good back, 3 quarterbacks I think that can all play, and then they got a good O-line that executes. So it's a big challenge for us.
A little bit from Jamie Skalski, guy who has played alongside him is Chad Smith, somebody who was recognized by Matt Connolly yesterday in his spot with us about how well he has done to try and refine his game, again, with this renewed linebacker unit. Basically, they play 3 across between Smith and Skalski, and then the kind of rover linebacker that Isaiah Simmons plays, because he has the ability to do a little bit more freelance stuff. He does a lot more in coverage, and also they can bring him on a weak side blitz and things of that nature. But Chad Smith has been somebody who has also found himself around the football a lot, and so much so, and he had an interception in last weekend's victory over Florida State.
It was pretty special. Classic example of being in the right place at the right time, and definitely luck. If you could see the play all over again, you'd see that we were trying to get the call, and we got the call in a little bit late, and so they snapped the ball. Next thing I know, I'm trying to drop back into coverage, and when you see the play, I was completely shocked the ball was right there. So it was a great play by Jordan getting his hands up, and next thing I know, I see the ball right in my hands, and I'm just trying to do what you can do with the ball in your hands, try and score. As a defensive player, you always are hoping to get your hands on the ball, and first thing you do is you're trying to score. So, that's, every defensive player's envision that in their mind, picking the ball off, scooping and scoring. We got a lot of respect for them. They got a great offense. They had a great game plan each and every week. And so we got to make sure that we are on top of our game plan and be able to execute in order to hopefully shut them down.
Am I alone in just being probably a little bit more scared about this Louisville game than others are? Because in my mind, I thought this was going to be a walkover. And after seeing what they did to Wake Forest, putting 62 points up on them, I'll be honest, I got some concerns.
Well, Scott Satterfield runs a really solid offense. He always has. And he now has, not to to use your word, not to impugn the athletes that he had at Appalachian State,
wow.
who are good athletes. It's just on a different level when you get up to a Louisville. And I was shocked that they put, 62 on Wake Forest? That's nuts. But they're not going to put up 62 on Clemson.
No. But they might put up 30.
And they will certainly give up 59.
True.
To Clemson. Clemson's offense significantly better than Wake Forest's offense.
Yes. You know how I know that I've completely rubbed off on you? You're starting to use words like impugn.
Not to disparage them.
When Dabo started using the words like lugubrious, and you could tell I had an effect on Dabo when he went on his little speaker tour after the national championship.
What is it that you said to me about Kathleen on our way out of the press box on Saturday night? It's what she said to you when you ran into her somewhere.
Oh.
She said, "You're the guy who uses big words in my husband's press conferences."
Yeah, something of that nature.
So that means
he's talked to Kath about me.
And then Kath is like, "Oh, you're the guy.
You're that guy." Well, because she's in those press conferences too a lot of times, especially
the post-game ones.
And those all the first instance of that came in the post-game press conference, which I believe it was the Duke game. I used the word lament, and he did not know what lament means, which, again, lamentations should be something that man knows, because he is a man who loves to read his Bible. But yeah, I told you about how somebody who was an academic sent him a thesaurus after that whole episode last year for Christmas. And he signed it saying, "I just want to make sure that you had this for people like Willie P." And let's just say I could tell he was cracking it open with some of these speeches that he was given about the White House and all these other places he went during the offseason. 844-GSB-ESPN is the phone number. I just try to make sure everybody's using that kind of language. We'll tell you what kind of language we're using here with what was left on the cutting room floor next on ESPN Upstate. Gamecock Billy wanted me to say that in the 4 years out of the last 10 where South Carolina has beat Georgia, they are 3-1 against Florida in that span. So that's good stuff. By the way, 5-5 in the last 10. Also, read that game, that ESPN.com piece with Mina Kimes that she did on DeAndre Hopkins. It's fantastic. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.